Hey, starting in on the fruit of the Spirit, last week was kind of an intro, and this week we're getting into the first of the fruit, which is love. Say love. All right. That wasn't very convincing. Say love. All right. I know that there's not a whole lot of people in here, but it's like you guys can get a little bit more than that. I mean, you got to be excited about love. But as a follower of Jesus, right, for me personally, and when I look at our world, and I'm not a real big news person. Some of you might be like, well, shame on you. You should know what's going on in the world. Quite frankly, I don't really care that much about what's put on the news because it's mostly bad stuff, just disasters, and there's nothing ever good reported on there. And so I don't consume a lot of my time with the news. But everything I see, right, as a believer in Christ, every time I do see something, I'm like, that situation needs Jesus, right? I mean, it's easy for me as a follower of Christ to recognize that. This world needs Jesus. Do you agree with that? All right? And we look around and we see there's evil and destruction everywhere. There's hate, there's division, there's warring. And so it's clear to me, and it's clear to you guys probably as well, that our world really needs Jesus. But do you know that really our world even admits that it needs Jesus? The world admits it. You think about, I've shared this before, but like, I'm surprised I'm not like some kind of musical, like prodigy or something, because my mind is all about music. As far as like, when I hear words, I always have a song starts going off in my head. So every time I hear the word love, I start thinking, all you need is love, you know, do, 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 do. Anybody else do that? I mean, it's like basically almost any word I have to like, stop my brain, because like when we do that in our house, we'll start singing songs and stuff about stuff. But it's like love is a popular mindset for the world's problems. Okay, lots of people recognize this world needs love. Okay, it's the message that gets pushed out for every agenda is love. Right, we got to love people, and you need to love us for the way that we are, and all these different things. We see love being pushed all the time. Although a lot of times there's a wrong idea about what love is, right? Because love's not acceptance of every person's moral authority or moral standards. And love is not being okay with every lifestyle. And love is not always turning a blind eye to things. But the world declares over and over and over, we need love. And they're right, because God is love, okay? We know that. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love, right? It doesn't just say that God has love or God loves, but it says that he is love. It's not just a quality. See, when we think about a person, we might think that they really have a loving quality about them. There's somebody that likes to love on people. There's some of you in here that are like that, where it's like everybody knows that about you. You just like to love on people. When we think about God, God doesn't have the quality of love. It's not that he just likes to love on people. He is love. It's part of who he is. It's the essence of who he is. It's who he has been, and it's who he always will be. And so if God is love, then there's no evil in him. There's no hate in him. There's no deceit in him. None of those things. And so this world does need love, because we know the world needs Jesus. I would say that the church needs love, because the church needs Jesus. Amen? All right? There's a lot of church that doesn't have Jesus in it. Galatians 5:22, getting into the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so today, again, we're looking at love. And last week, we kind of set up the intro here for the fruit of the Spirit. Paul talked about how we naturally desire these works of the flesh, right? And these works of the flesh, they oppose the fruit of the Spirit. They oppose the things of God. And the works of the flesh are things that we produce in our lives, right? We make them happen. We produce them. We bring them forth. But the fruit of the Spirit are things that are only brought forth by the Holy Spirit. He produces them in our lives. So the flesh can imitate these things. The flesh can counterfeit some of these fruits and these virtues but it cannot produce them. Only the Spirit of God can produce these fruits. The Spirit produces love in the lives of believers, right? Love, fruit of the Spirit. So when we're connected with Jesus, the Holy Spirit will produce love in our lives. And we're going to get into that a little bit because many of you know that everybody thinks that they have the capacity. Everybody thinks that they know how to love. Everybody thinks that they know what love is. But does anyone in this place know love perfectly? Do you know what love is perfectly? Do you love perfectly? Do you do that action perfectly? Probably not. Okay? It says the fruit of the Spirit is, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is. That is present tense, right? It's a present tense. It's indicating that this process of bearing fruit is happening right now. Right? It's something that continues. It's going on right now, and it's going to continue. It's a process. And Paul, in the beginning of Philippians 1:13 or 14, he says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day, he'll bring it until it's perfect in the day of Christ Jesus. So it's something that the Spirit is constantly working in you and growing in you. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us and forgive, and he's given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. I'm going to get through this. My brain's going to start working here in a minute. Or maybe it'll quit and the Holy Spirit will just go. That would be even better. But we walk in love. We're called to walk in love because as children of God, being conformed to the image of Christ, we should look like Jesus. And Jesus is love. God is love. Jesus is love. And so in the fruit of the Spirit, love is first. Okay? You've probably, some of you might be even tired of hearing me say this, but when you see something listed in order in the Bible, I personally do not believe it is ever by coincidence, right? The Spirit of God inspired these men to write these letters. The Spirit of God spoke and told them to write these letters. And I don't believe when we see something in order that it's ever an accident, it's ever a coincidence. And as I've studied them, as I get into stuff, when I see stuff in order in my Bible, I'm telling you, I just stop. And I start looking at it. And why is it in that order? Because that's intriguing to me, okay? And it's like, I've yet to find a single instance of things listed in the Bible where the first one didn't have some kind of significance. And then if I actually study them out, it's like they almost always build on each other or follow one another or something. Okay, so the first one right here is love. Why is love first? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Unlike the works of the flesh can be broken out and separated. They're works of the flesh. So it's like you can do one, then do the other. You can do these two and not those three. The fruit of the Spirit is a little bit different because when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's like they are the fruit of the Spirit combined. It's not you break one out and you get one and not the other. It's like the Spirit of God works all of these in your life. I mean, you may have some a little better than others, but it's not like you have love, but you don't have kindness, right? It's like the fruit of the Spirit is a package deal. So why is it important that love is first? I believe that love is the basis for all the rest of the fruit, okay? And when we think about spiritual gifts, you could have one, you could have two, you could have all of them. They could vary from time to time. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, it's kind of an all or nothing deal. You either have the Spirit of God in your life and he's producing the fruit of the Spirit, or you don't, and he's not. Okay, so it's a package deal. The Spirit's in you, he's producing the fruit, but he begins with love. He begins with love because love is what all the rest of the fruit comes out of. Love is where all the rest of the fruit is birthed from. If you don't have love, the rest of the fruit can't be produced in your life. It's kind of like the foundation of the rest of the fruit. You think about the other things here in the fruit. Joy. Joy is love exalting. Peace. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love with a bowed head. Goodness is love in action. Faithfulness is love confiding. Gentleness is love in refinement. Self-control is love obeying. Okay? So these all pile on one another. They all come from love. Love is the basis of all of it. And Paul even teaches that with the things about the spiritual gifts. Okay? When we read in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing." Okay? The Spirit of God producing love in your life. If he's not, it doesn't matter what else you can do. It doesn't matter what you can do, what skills you have, what talents you have, what gifts you have. It doesn't matter how patient you are, how kind you are. All of those things, they don't matter if you don't have love. It's the basis for all of these things, because what is love? God, right? God is love. So love is God. True love, genuine love, real love is God. It all ties back to him. It comes from him. And so with every action we take, God looks at our heart. Every action, he looks at the heart. And when he looks at the heart, he's looking to see what is the motivation behind what you're doing. Is it love or is it something else? Okay? That's how God knows if the action is pure. It's how he knows if we're doing something from a worldly standpoint or a godly standpoint. Is it rooted in love? Is it come out of love? And so if we're not connected with Christ, if we're not connected to the vine, I'm going to tell you what's a biblical truth, that you can't produce love. It's not possible. You can't create something that is God. God does it. The Spirit produces it. And this is why I say without reservation that you can't really love somebody if you don't know Jesus. And I preached this last year at camp to the young kids. I had the privilege, I actually chose it, but I had the privilege of speaking to them about sex and about relationship. And I told them this: you cannot love anything, a person or any other thing, if you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I mean, you might call it love, but that's not actually what it is. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love comes from God, okay? And so I say that without reservation. If you don't know Christ, you don't actually love. It's not real. It's something different, which we're going to get into in a moment. And I'm not saying you can't have strong feelings or emotions about somebody or about something. But I'm telling you, it's not love, because God is love. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the inverse of that would also be true. He who does not know God does not love. Okay, you don't have the capacity to produce it on our own, right? So we're talking about real love. This is, if you're into the different Greek words of love, this is the agape love. This is the most commonly used love. And what I find interesting about love is in the Greek, there's these different words that are used for love. And they show different types of love. But often when Jesus is talking about love in a general sense, it comes back to this agape love, okay? This is that love that's unconditional, okay? When you think about agape love, it's unconditional love. It's sacrificial love. This is the love that ultimately reflects the very presence and the essence of God himself, okay? So agape love, unconditional, sacrificial love that God not only is, but it's also the kind of love that he shows us. And it's also the kind of love that he commands us to do in our lives. 1 John 3:16 and 17. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" This is that agape love, that sacrificial, unconditional love. John 15:12-13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Say as. Okay? He's commanding us to love people in the same way, just like he loved us. He loved us unconditionally. He loves us sacrificially, without reservation, okay? And then it goes on to the part we like to quote, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." John 3:16, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the same love. Again, sacrificial. It's unconditional. It wasn't if you do this, then Jesus will come and die in your place. He did it unconditionally. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, unconditional. It was while we were actually against him, while we were actually in opposition, that he came. And so God commands agape love in believers. And what he commands, he also enables in us. Okay? Paul explains this in Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? By the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, church, does this reflect the fruit of love in our lives? Do we have this unconditional love? Do we have this love that is sacrificial? Because you know what? Sacrifice means sometimes that we give up what we want, right? I'm pretty sure that Jesus would have much preferred the path of staying in heaven if it could have been done. I mean, it wasn't easy, but he sacrificed. He gave up what he wanted to do for us. So are we loving unconditionally? Are we loving in that way? Right? True love is not conditional. Now, some of you, your minds might have already been going, and you're like, well, salvation's kind of conditional, right? Salvation is kind of conditional. Jesus died for you. He gave his life, and this is what most of the world doesn't get. This is what the Christians who are Christians but don't live for Christ, this is what they don't get, is salvation is actually conditional, because you do have to take the step of choosing to receive it, right? It's if you receive it, then you're saved, right? It's not just, I mean, otherwise, why come to church, right? If everybody's just saved because Jesus died. But he died and rose again, and he offers new life to those who will receive it. So it is conditional. I understand that, and that's okay. That's a good thing. But he did die for every single person, right? The love part of it was the sacrifice. And that was for every person, no matter if they receive him or not. He still did it, right? And I've heard it said over and over and over. I think maybe Pastor Bob prayed this on Wednesday, was that I know, Jesus, if it was just me, you still would have came and died. You still would have came and given your life if it was just for me. And I want to take that a step further and tell you that even if it was just for you and he knew you were going to say no, he still would have done it. Because it was not conditional based on whether you would accept it or not. It was true, genuine love. It was God giving of himself with no strings attached because he loves us. Right? So even if he knew you would say no, he still would have gave it just for you. That is unconditional love. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, is that unconditional love. That kind of love. If we have love that is not like that, it is not love. Because this is what love is. Okay? This is what he produces in our lives. And so why don't we walk in that love? I mean, I haven't figured this love out yet. I have a really hard time sometimes loving, okay? There's a movie out. It's called like Loving the Bad Man or something like that on Netflix. And it's this woman who her husband ends up getting killed by this guy. And it's actually a pretty decent movie. And I'm like, every time I see that, I think about that. I'm like, it is hard, right? It's hard to love the bad man, the bad people, the people that cause you trouble and cause you grief. Why don't we walk in this love? Is it that the Holy Spirit's not very good at his job or what? I mean, he's supposed to be producing this love in me. So why am I still struggling with walking in this love? I mean, you know, there's times as a pastor where I put a lot of pressure on myself, and then I have to remember that I don't have the ability to just produce the power of God, that he has to move in power through me, through the elders, through the worship team, through prayer, through the church, okay? He has to do that thing, but do you know that I still have some responsibility in that? I still have responsibility in being connected to him myself, right? And it's like that with the things of the Spirit. The Spirit does produce love in our lives, but why isn't he producing those things? I'll tell you what, it's not because he's not able. It's not because he's weak. It's not because he's failing. It's not because he's not a very good Holy Spirit, okay? It's because of us. It's because of things that are going on in our life. And the first thing is the weed, okay? For each one of these fruits, each one of these parts of the fruit, we're going to look at a weed and then an imposter or an imitator. And so the weed, we think about what a weed is. The definition of a weed is a valueless plant growing wild, especially one that grows on cultivated ground to the exclusion or injury of the desired crop. So a weed is something that pops up and it causes injury to the real crop, what's supposed to be there. Okay? Another definition is an undesirable or troublesome plant, especially one that grows profusely where it is not wanted. Okay? So what is the weed here? The weed that chokes out love is hate. Okay? Hate is not wanted in the heart of God's people. It's not wanted in the heart of God's children. And while our heart may be this cultivated ground that's tilled up, we come into church and we're ready and like, I want to receive what you have for me today. Go ahead and plant some seed and water it and grow it. Do all these things. You know what? When we're out in this life and in this world, and maybe sometimes even in the church, sometimes we have these weeds pop up, right? We have these weeds, they pop up. And when we think about the weeds, again, remember, these are undesirable plants. These are troublesome plants. They're ones that you don't want there, but they still are going to pop up anyway. You know, we spray for weeds all the time around here. They just keep coming back. They just keep popping up. And so you have to spray again, and you have to spray again, and you have to spray again. And then you get done, and it's like, how did I miss that? Or when did that get here, right? After a rain, it's like the weeds were gone yesterday, and now they're all back. Okay, so the love weed is hate, okay? Our perception of hate is tainted by our sin nature. It's tainted by the way the enemy teaches us and the world teaches us to perceive hate. Either we think we hate nothing, okay? This is when we have a strong view of hate, like hate is this such a terrible thing that I would never do it. And when we view hate really strongly like that, we're usually like, well, I don't hate anything. Even if that slips and we're like, well, I hate such and such. We're like, well, I mean that I don't like it, right? Or we think hate's not that bad. We take too light of a view of hate, and really we hate a lot of things, and we hate this and that, and we just throw that word around like it's no big deal. And it's whatever is best for us is what we usually believe. But you know, hatred is not always intense. It's not always this bitter, this ugly thing. Hatred can sometimes just be in a careless remark, right? Hatred can sometimes be in a passive-aggressive jab, okay? Hatred can sometimes be an attitude that we receive from the people that we're around. This is why it's important to basically people that are rotten, just get them out of your life, okay? Because that starts to wear on us, and some of you deal with that in the workplace. Praise Jesus. My wife's saved, so in the workplace, when I'm here in the office and she's here, she's not dragging me down. But many of you deal with that in the workplace where it's like, in my workplace, it's like weeds are popping up all day long. It's like, I mean, you need one of those backpacks with weed spray that you just carry around with you. Don't squirt them in the face, okay? That's the only thing you can get in trouble for that. But we have this where we deal with all this culture around us where it's like, it's poison, and it just keeps planting more weeds and planting more weeds in our lives. And so we've got to think about this. The intensity is not the essence of the act of hating. We hate what we don't like, right? It's to dislike intensely or passionately, but hating is also to be unwilling, right? Somebody asks you to do something, you're like, oh, I hate doing that. I'm not doing it. You know, it's like, I'm unwilling is what you're saying. I'm unwilling to do that. That's a part of hatred. So it kind of gives you another angle to look at. And so for the most part of that unwillingness for us is an unwillingness to love unconditionally. We're like, I do have conditions, actually. You're going to have to do this, this, and this. Okay, John, 1 John 3:15 tells us, Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And do you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him? Okay, where does this weed pop up in your life, this weed of hatred? Again, there's probably people, you might be sitting here right now like, I don't hate anybody. Praise God if that's true. Okay, praise God. Don't dismiss the rest of this message because I'll tell you what that is. That's pride thinking, well, surely it's not me. Okay, you let God decide that. You let him dictate whether you need to be focusing on this or whether you don't. Matthew 5:21, kind of going off of that, right? Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You kind of need to read that before you look at Matthew 5:21. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. For whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go away. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Right? It should be our prayer every single day to see people the way that Jesus does. That's what we should be praying, okay? And I don't do it near enough. But Lord, show me people the way that you see them. Because when we see them the way that he does, we're going to see them with love, right? We're going to see them with unconditional love. We're going to see them in a way that it's like, regardless of what they've done, I still really care for their well-being. I care that they're okay. I care that they're not harmed and all these things, right? When I was a kid, I would hope that baseball players on the other team got hurt, right? You know, it's like, I hope he gets injured. I hope he's out for the season, you know, because it would help my team. And now I'm like, oh man, I hope he's not hurt, right? I mean, I was at a Cardinal game last year with Pastor Dan, and I don't even remember who it was. One of the Cardinals got hurt, and I was praying for him. I was like, I don't want to see him hurt. I don't want to see him injured. It doesn't matter if he's my enemy right now because I'm rooting for the other team. It's like, I don't wish ill things against him. That's love. It's unconditional love to feel that way and to be that way about people. But when we see people the way that we see them in our carnal minds, in our dealing with our own sins, we're going to see people with hate. We're going to see people where it's like, I really dislike that person for this, that, and the other thing. And so it's important that we see people with love, because I'm going to tell you that love and how we feel about people is vital to our lives because it affects our worship. Okay? It affects our worship. When you have hate toward another, you're operating out of the flesh, out of the sin nature, and that does bring a separation between us and God. Okay, I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm saying that when you come into worship and you have that resentment and you have that anger and you have that bitterness against people, and then you notice that thing keeps popping in your mind when you're trying to worship, that's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence when it feels like, man, it's like the brass heavens in here, like everything I'm throwing up just keeps bouncing back down to me. That's not a coincidence, okay? It hinders our worship to God when we have hate toward people, okay? And so when the Spirit of God is trying to produce love in our lives, we've got to let him produce it. And so when we worship Jesus, you know, we're saying, I honor you. I am in awe of you about how amazing you are and how wonderful you are. Like, I can't believe how good you are, God. Those are the things that we're saying when we're in worship. But when we have hate in our heart and we're unwilling to operate in the love that his Spirit's trying to produce, we're letting weeds choke it out, okay? And he's wanting us to go yank the weeds out, all the way out. That's why he says, leave your gift at the altar. He's like, you know what? It's more important that you get your heart right first. Go take care of these problems, yank those weeds out, and let the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love, flourish in your life. Let that grow and let that grow into something that's going to take over the garden, okay? And it's because we're out of position whenever we are hindered in our worship. And so I know not everyone in this room has huge relationship problems. You can't maybe put your finger on like somebody or something that's a real problem for you and you need to go right out of here right now and deal with, okay? Some of you, maybe you are, okay? But here's the thing, if you're not willing to do that, if you're not willing to consider that, if you're not willing to ask God, like, God, is there something in me? God, is there something that I need to deal with? Are there issues that I have with others that maybe I don't see it as hatred, but maybe you do, okay? Because that's really the better question, is what does God see as the weed? But if you're not willing to ask those questions, if you're not willing to really consider those, then I'm going to tell you what, that's also hate because it's an unwillingness, okay? And your worship to God is going to be in vain. That means it's going to be unsuccessful. It's going to be rejected and thrown back down. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. This is what we can hate, right? What is evil. But what that person did to me was evil. Okay, well, you can hate the action. Now take that to the Lord and then take it to the person, okay? We can hate sin. We can hate evil. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of times where we let the weed of hate choke out the fruit of love in our lives. And listen, there's a reason that Satan's called the deceiver, because he deceives us into believing that that's not me. He deceives us into believing that couldn't possibly be me. I don't have a problem with that. Listen, get alone with God and ask God what he thinks about it. Get alone with God and ask God, Lord, it's like David, Lord, check my heart and show me if there's anything that is impure, anything that's unholy, anything that's not good within me, okay? So the second thing that can hinder the fruit of love from growing in our lives, from producing in our lives, is the imitator, the imposter. And so have you ever thought about it? Some of you are probably a lot better with plants than me, so maybe this, you don't have this problem, but there's times where, like, we go to pull weeds in front of the parsonage. I don't know what was planted there and what was a weed. And I'm like, Christy, am I supposed to pull this or leave it? And there's been times where she didn't know either. And it's like, I don't know, it kind of looks pretty. Like, I guess leave it. And like, we seriously might have left it and still don't know if it was planted there or if it just grew up on its own. But sometimes it kind of looks pretty on the surface. There's something that, like, it pops up and it has these little purple flowers, these little purple blooms or whatever. And I always thought they were flowers. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And then somebody told me it was a weed. I'm like, how could that be a weed? And they're like, look at all the ditches. Look everywhere you go. They're everywhere. You know, it's weeds that pop up. And quite frankly, if you don't pull them out, they're going to choke out the good stuff that you planted. And I'm like, but they look pretty. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't change anything. It's an imposter, right? It's an imitator. Looks like a flowering plant, but it's actually a weed. And we have something like that in our lives, church, that sometimes we look at it and we think this is love, and in reality, it's not. It's an imitator. It's a weed that's trying to masquerade as love. It's something that the enemy has produced in our lives or has drawn us to and allowed us to produce. The love imitator is what we produce by the flesh, okay? This is when we try to produce love, and this is where I talked earlier about how I don't believe you can actually love without God, because I believe that this is the imitator right here, is limited love. Conditional love, limited love, okay? People can produce limited love. People can produce on their own the ability to love if, the ability to love when, okay, the ability to love where, okay, all the conditions. If you do what pleases me, then yes, I will love you. This is what we see a lot of times in really serious marital problems, is fleshly love, okay, the imitator. It's not godly love, and I'm talking about even in Christians, because it's like, well, you don't know what he does this and doesn't do this and all these things, and it's like, well, do you love him? Well, right now, I'm really not even sure. I really couldn't even tell you. I'm like, that's not God, right? That's not love. That's the imitator love. That's the limited love. That's the love that says if, when, where. It's an artificial fruit. It's a counterfeit that looks like the real thing. It can fool you, okay? Again, this is where people, a lot of times, even believers, it's like, well, I don't have a problem with love. Don't be so naive to think that you might not, okay? So this is pretty obvious right here. Instead of loving unconditionally like Jesus modeled for us, we love, again, with some kind of limits. Love with limits is what every unbeliever has the capacity to do, no matter what. It's something that comes from the flesh. You can't love unconditionally without the Spirit of God. When we love conditionally, we are loving in our sin nature. Okay? Matthew 5:46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Right? Tax collectors as sinners. Right? The unredeemed. If you love people that love you, that's saying it's limited love. It's conditional love. If you love people just because they do it to you, like whoop-de-doo. That's what the Bible's telling us. Whoop-de-doo. What does that matter? That's not even love. Everybody can do that. That's not something that you even need God for to produce in your life. And so loving people does not produce godliness in you. Godliness in you produces love for people. Okay, Galatians 5:24, right after the fruit of the Spirit. It says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. It takes a day-by-day evaluation, a day-by-day battle with the things of the flesh and saying, you know what? I don't want this in my life. I've got to put this hate down. I've got to recognize this conditional love that I have in my life, and I have to put those aside, and I have to submit to God so I can overcome these ungodly tendencies that I have in my life. You know, we sing songs like, you know, the God who has overcame, right? He has overcame. He's overcome all obstacles, all things. But you know what? It's daily submission is what allows us to overcome, okay? When we were saved, we were saved. When we were set free spiritually, we were set free spiritually. But you know what? It's a daily submission that allows us to overcome. That's not a one-time thing. It's not I gave my life to Jesus one time when I was 7, and therefore I will overcome everything in my life. Not true. It takes daily submission, regularly submitting to God and saying, I choose you. I choose your ways. Don't be fooled by the imitator. Right? Don't settle for loving people that you like, people that are good to you, people that are nice, right? That does not produce the righteousness of God. It's a fake. And you know what? God knows that, but I'm going to tell you something else, and maybe you already know this. People also know that it's a fake. People also know that that love is not genuine. They know when that love is conditional. They recognize that, and maybe there's people you have recognized that in as well. Don't be fooled. So what do? Right? We uproot the weeds, right? We uproot the evil. We uproot this hatred. This is something that God tells us to do. We rip it out. We come to him and we say, Lord, I give this over to you. I don't want it in my life. Speak the word of God over your life. Declare it dead and gone and ripped out and let it be so. Okay? Get prayer if you need to. And then we identify the imitator. Evaluate the way that you love. Is it limited? Right? We can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you can look at what it says love is and look at the way that you're loving people. Does it line up with that? Or does it not? If it doesn't, then it's the imitator. And you've got to let that be recognized and you've got to get that out as well. And then what? Matthew 22:37. Jesus told us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, if God is going to command us to love, then God is going to give us the capacity to love. God is going to produce that love within us. Why would God ask us to do something that only he can do if he wasn't going to do it through us? Right? So he says, love God, love people. If you come into Christ and the Spirit of God comes alive in your life, he will produce that in your life. Okay? So we're given that to produce. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. Okay? This fruit is the outward manifestation of a submitted believer's inner life. Okay? We've got to see the weeds in the imitator. But listen, then we have to bear the fruit. And I want to tell you, just because the fruit is produced doesn't mean that it actually comes forth. Okay? We have a choice there in bearing the fruit as well. We have to bring it forth even though the Spirit produces it. It's not a do nothing and God does all the work type of thing. He produces love. He provides it. It's there. But then we have to choose to operate in it. We have to choose love over hate. Again, it comes back to the regular submission. And you know what? I know I didn't really define exactly what love is today, and that was intentional. Because the Bible does not actually tell us exactly what love is. It doesn't tell us the everything about, I don't think that you could write enough words to describe what love actually is. And anything that I would share out of the word, it'd be like, yeah, but there's also this over here and this over here and this over here. The reason I'm not defining love is I believe the Bible doesn't fully define it for us. What it does is it fully demonstrates it for us. It fully illustrates what love looks like because it shows us the man of Jesus Christ who was perfect in love. And so if you want to know what love is, you look at Jesus. What did he do? How did he do it? What examples did he set? That's what love is. That's what should be produced in our life. The word illustrates love. And all of life is love for Christ. So physical fruit grows because it's produced by a living plant, right? The fruit of love is produced in you because it's produced by the Spirit that is alive within you. As a new creature, a branch to the vine, right? We're still responsible for taking part in bringing forth that love that's been given to us. Jesus, this is what's amazing about God, is he doesn't just always tell us what to do. He talked about love. He talked about loving your enemies, remember? He told the Pharisees, he's like, you've heard it like this, but I'm going to tell you it like this. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, right? He's like, this is the way that you should do it. But then he didn't just tell us what to do. Then he showed us when he gave his life on the cross. He said, I'm going to show you exactly what that looks like when I get on that cross and I die for my enemies. Okay? That is what unconditional love really is. He gave his life for those who were against him. He loved without condition. He didn't hate them when it would have been easy to. He didn't say, I'll do this when you do that. He just loved. And so the question today is, what about you? What about me? Do we love like Jesus loves? Because that's what he's asking us to do. And that's what the Spirit of God is wanting to produce in our lives. If you would stand to your feet in this place. And this morning, as we open up the altars, a couple of specific things. And people don't have to know what you came for. And honestly, if that's what our concern is, then coming to the altar doesn't really matter that much anyway. But if you feel like you have some kind of hatred, and again, hatred is that strong dislike, and it may just be an unwillingness. But if you feel like you have something like that that you need God to deal with today that needs to be ripped out and uprooted, I want you to come down and receive prayer for that. And if you feel like maybe you've had this imitation, this false love in your life where it's like, you know what? I recognize that I do kind of have limitations on my love. I do kind of, you know, I love when things are going right, when people are doing what I want. I want you to come down and just tell the Lord. Say, God, I want this imitator to be removed and I want the real deal. I want the real thing this morning. And then if you're one who, you know, maybe you've overcome these, maybe these are things you've already tackled head on, maybe over and over, and you feel like God's producing that love and it's something you're thriving in, man, I want you to just praise him today. Because I tell you what, that's not the case for every person. Love is hard for some people, okay? And love is it's not a fruit that's abundant in a lot of believers' lives. So this morning, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, and God, that you are the one that produces this in our lives, that we don't have to be burdened by trying to create it. And Lord, I think a lot of times we do that, and that's when we get that imitation, that imposter, is when we try to create something that, God, you're desiring to create within us. So we just pray that today that you would set us free from those things. If people come forward and they have a need in their life, Lord, we ask that those needs be met right here today. Because we know you are a God who is willing and able, a God who is all-powerful, and a God who has overcome. So right now, as we get ready to open up the altar and worship the name of Jesus, we just declare submission from our hearts to yours right now, Lord. We just declare that we give our lives to you. And God, we ask you to have your way. I ask that your Spirit brings conviction upon us. Lord, it's not about words that I've spoken, but Lord, it's about what are you speaking to our hearts, every one of us right now. What do we need to deal with today? What do we need to come to this altar and drop in your lap, Lord? Just as we prayed before service, that we need to give these things over to you, because Lord, you told us that you would deal with them. You told us that if we yoke up with you, that your burden is light, that you can handle it. You can carry the bulk of the weight. And so, Lord, I just pray that today would be that day for people. That today they'd leave this place changed and set free and transformed. Lord, that we would leave this place today in that unconditional, limitless love for you and for people. No matter how bad they are, no matter how messed up they are, no matter how much they've hurt us, that God, you would allow us to forgive and to walk away from those things and to walk in unconditional love that you desire and, Lord, that you're going to provide in our lives. So we thank you, we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him, church, and if you need prayer, come to the altar.